Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Men's Room podcast from TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. If, like me, you love a little deal, then you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money. Getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If you keep spending, you'll keep on saving. That's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today, online, in-store or via the app. A Bosch.
Hello everyone, I'm Adi Oladipo and welcome to another episode of The Men's Room. But this is a very, very special episode. In fact, we're going to change the name of The Men's Room just for one episode to The Gentleman's Room. I want to welcome in Mr. Rory Jennings, as always. Spotify, thank you very much to them. They've let us in their wonderful studios and it's wonderful. Very, very secret building in a secret location. So secret, we had to get help to get in. But we're in. We are in, and we've got a very, very special guest with us as well, Mr. Grant Harold. I'm going to read out his exact title. The UK's leading etiquette expert and former butler to King Charles III.
I was, yes. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
And I love the name, the Gentleman's Room. I feel like I'm in the local facilities now, but thank you.
Yeah, loads can happen in the Gentleman's Room.
That's what I'm worried about.
This is great. I'm very excited about this episode. Yeah, this is going to be a great one for you.
And for you, because you know why I say and for him? Because he thinks he is Mr. Etiquette. He thinks he's somehow perfect and because... says all the right things and does all the right things and hates when I wear tracksuit bottoms and the wrong pair of trainers. So I'm happy that you can come, Grant, and give him a good look down about what he's wearing.
Do you know what's quite funny there, Andy? The way that you presented that, you were suggesting that Grant was going to agree with you. Then when you said tracksuit bottoms, I saw his lip curl.
Tracksuit, I mean, that's lovely. Tracksuit bottoms, very 1980s. That's lovely. But it's somehow kind of... try to avoid, but I'm loving your look as well, Rory. I'm loving that t-shirt. Did you keep the receipt for that one? Or
I should have put a little bit more effort into that. I should have tried to be a bit more dapper.
Can I talk about our greetings today?
Yes,
I came in and gave you a hug.
You did give me a hug, which is
quite strong,
very
and
nice.
Firm.
Strong.
Rory was very, you know,
very
safe,
very royal handshake. Yeah. Very good. The thing about etiquette today, when you meet somebody, you're supposed to do handshakes, but then if somebody goes around hugging, then you reciprocate. You give a hug back. Mm. That's the kind of thing.
You asked for it.
Exactly.
You asked for it.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you expect that back, great. But if you're being really, really formal, so say we were Ascot as an example. Mm. Say we were Ascot when we were being introduced to each other, then we'd do the handshakes. And Rory's handshake was quite interesting. A little bit limp on the limp side, but that's fine.
Really? That's the most offensive thing that you could possibly say to me. Because that upsets me. So, you know, if I get a limp handshake from somebody, it puts me off the person.
Yeah.
Well, so the fact that I've delivered one is
troublesome. It was a little bit, I mean, it could have been overpowering and then you become too domineering and we don't want that. And also you've got to make sure your hands aren't too sweaty.
was Rory's hand sweaty?
It was wet. Well, it wasn't sweaty. Wet.
I've been kind of since the handshake, Ed, I've been kind of looking for the bacterial hand wipes.
Wow!
Is this the correct etiquette? This is what I adopt. If I meet a man, I handshake. If I meet a lady, I give her a kiss on the cheek. Is that correct?
Well, yes and no. It depends if you know that person. So traditionally, I would always opt for the handshake first. So with two gentlemen meeting, it's sometimes difficult as to who should be given the handshake. Sometimes it can be age, can be down to the person being older, seniority, titles, that kind of thing. If you're both of equal power, then both going for the handshake. And the handshake is supposed to be where your hands meet, fingers wrapped round, thumbs down, 2 to 3 pumps, no more, no less, and then hands back to the side. Simple as that.
I do.
Okay, cool.
But with a lady...
That's exactly... No, it's not.
It's exactly what I do.
It's so that, not what you do.
It's exactly what I do.
It's not what you do.
I think
you
did, two or three pumps.
I think you went for four pumps, which is slightly... You know, I felt that you're kind of trying to pump up a bicycle tyre, but it was fine.
You know what...
It's okay.
Like, obviously, we watch football. I don't know if you are a football man, but you see the foreign managers, when they say hello to someone, they do this very cheeky tap on the face. You see, Mourinho always seems... And Pep does it as well. And it's not a case of age or seniority. He just slaps someone on the face. How cheeky, or is that a foreign thing?
I must confess, I don't really watch too much football. I'm more kind of into croquet and cricket, but I'm sure football is lovely to watch. But I haven't noticed them going up touching each other on the face. Is it like a touch? Is it like grooming each other?
I don't think he's trying to be condescending. I think it's done out of love. But I think etiquette-wise, you don't touch someone else's face.
No, I mean...
It's a bit cheeky, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, you don't kind of touch the face or pat them on the head because they're not a dog. Yeah. You know? So obviously it's better just to stick to the handshakes. And with the lady, what I was going to say is if you're meeting a lady, if you don't know the lady, let the lady offer the handshake first. Don't you offer the hand first. She's got to offer it. If she wants to, she might not want to. And then if it's if you're going to go in for the kiss, then the lady should actually lead... the kiss first. Oh. And it's just to be very clear, we're talking about we're not talking about French kissing.
No.
we're talking about kisses on the cheek. Wow. So it's right cheek pens. and then oh god,
what's even a cheek side? There's even a cheek side. So if I go in for the left cheek, I've done it wrong.
Yes, it's the same side as the handshakes. It's the right hand. So just remember, if it's the right hand, you go with the right cheek. And then
I know you knew this.
And no ear kissing. So don't none of that.
Oh, so you have to touch.
No, you have to touch. A little touch, and then you can make a silent kind of, but not like a loud, you know, no, that kind of. Okay.
They do that, don't they? I feel like the ladies do that more. They make the noise more than we do.
And also, when you do this, also try to remember, don't lick the face or anything. You know,
no, we don't do that. Grant, look, before we go down this rabbit hole, how did you get into all of this? Because this is a very interesting profession.
So my background, as you've mentioned, was a butler for the King. And while I was working, or when he was Prince of Wales, and prior to that, I worked for the Duke of Bedford, which his family's quite famous because they kind of founded or started afternoon tea in the 1800s. So around the late Duke of Bedford, the present Duke and the now King, I kind of watched what they did. I watched their day-to-day lives, how they did things, the etiquette, and I'd ask them questions. I mean, I was fascinated by etiquette and how to do things properly and dress codes. And so I used to kind of ask them questions. I'm sure they kind of thought, why do they keep asking all these questions? So I was interested in it. And then when I actually, before I left, I should mention that when people used to come to meet with a member of the royal family, like the prince as he was then, or Prince William or somebody, I would talk through what you're supposed to do. So I'd say about how you do the bow, the curtsy, the handshake. So I'd already been doing this. And then when I left, I thought, I wondered if it's something I could do as a job, which I didn't think would become anything, you know, teaching people how to kind of act and behave. And it's become a main time thing for me. It's a full time job. And I run the courses at Blenheim Palace, which is obviously, it was classed as Britain's greatest palace. We do courses there. And I have everybody come along from people from my very background, because my background was very kind of, you know, I grew up in a council estate in Scotland, where the other end, I've had royal clients as well. Mm. So I have some amazing clients, and I run a butler school. So I've gone from working as a butler to going into this kind of world. And I should mention also social media has become a big thing, because I started teaching serious etiquette advice on social media, and now I've turned it into a little bit of comedy / etiquette, which seems to be doing quite well with the masses.
Aside from London or sort of neighbouring regions, is there an area in the country which has kind of nailed this down? That side of the country knows exactly what they're doing.
Berkshire. Berkshire.
Yeah.
Oh, Berkshire, I thought you said something else.
No, okay, I reckon. If I were to guess, the most polite part of the country, I'm going for Buckinghamshire or Berkshire.
Definitely a shire, isn't it?
Do you know, there hasn't been one area I could actually say, they've definitely got it. It's really difficult to kind of pinpoint any area that, I mean, even people that you think would know how to behave or do things, they don't. That's what's really funny. You know, over the years when I've had some extraordinary clients and I think, oh, they'll know how to do stuff, and they don't. So I think, but do you know what? These etiquette rules, people get a bit nervous and start kind of worrying about getting things wrong. And I kind of, the way I understand it is, etiquette was created as a kind of rule book to kind of keep us all right. So it wasn't, it's not, doesn't mean to say that etiquette's right for you or me, or it's a personal thing. So there's a set of rules that we all kind of were supposed to follow, and that we, you know, if you're in somebody else's home or if you're at an event or something, but in your own home, you've got your own rules. I bet you have in your home, I can guarantee you have your own rules, the way you like things done, the way you do things, mm-hmm. when people come round, the ways that you like to do things, and that's your rules. And that's not right, it's not wrong, it's just that's your rules. But if you're looking at a collective, so you're at an event at Buckingham Palace, then what I try to teach is kind of, I suppose, royal etiquette, which is how to do things when you're around royals or aristocracy. But as I said, it doesn't mean to say that's right, it's just that's how, it's their rules, it's how they like to do things.
You know that very particular strand of etiquette that you're talking about there, you know, being in a royal palace, for example. I understand that that is a very specific set of rules for a very specific occasion. Are you, like me, at your wit's end with just the lack of etiquette and politeness in modern day society?
Sometimes yes, because you notice things, as you mentioned, everyday etiquette, and it's kind of gone out the window. Can I give the example at the Underground?
Yeah,
you know, you're going there, and it's literally crazy, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, there's no kind of queuing. Literally when you're putting your tickets against the scanner and people jump in front of mm-hmm. you and everyone racing on the train and people getting stuck halfway in trains and half out of trains, and it all goes out the window. And then I noticed, so if I'm on the Underground and there's a lady comes on, it is risky because obviously some ladies do not want a gentleman giving up a seat because it's equality, you know, and I appreciate that. But sometimes if a lady comes on or somebody that's elderly, I will offer the seat. And I thought maybe...
How old the lady? Are we... A 20-year-old comes on, you're getting up.
Probably more somebody in the... Can't be 50s, ageist, can you? 60s. Oh, well, okay. It's difficult. It depends... It depends. If it's a younger person, it could be somebody that's pregnant, somebody that's got children.
That's careful.
Pregnant, you always do.
No, but pregnant's a very risky thing.
They often wear a baby on board, don't they?
No, well, some do, but if they don't,
no, but you can still
take the risk of overweight. I don't know if you can.
I've been there. I've made that mistake.
That's incredible.
Grant's made the mistake.
I went up to somebody once to congratulate them, and I said, "Oh, is there some exciting news?" And she said, "This is years ago, 15 years ago." And they said, "What do I mean?" And I said, "Oh, are we some exciting news coming up?" And they're like, "No." And I realised that they were obviously slightly overweight since I last saw them.
Okay, but that's incredibly unlucky. 99% of people who are pregnant, you don't assume are fat.
No, you could just, they could just be overweight a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But so. I think it's fair to say that if you make a judgment that somebody's carrying a baby, you're probably correct, and therefore you should vacate your seat.
I'm talking about the time when you maybe it's not as visible, 5 months maybe.
Yeah.
That's quite... Yeah. I mean,
no, but then you've got to rely on a baby on board.
Yeah, you've got to rely on that.
But that's an example where you always have to vacate your seat. Immediately.
That's what
Regardless of what seat as well. Like, you know, there's that seat by the edge, which would suggest that you have to, you know, there's a note on it that says...
I like when everyone puts their head down as they... I see it. When everyone immediately just jumps on the phone and head down.
Well, I think they went to sleep.
But you know, weirdly, I respect the etiquette. Like, I don't see it as a chore. Like, you know, that kind of thing... I'm mortified if someone's got up before me.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like, you know, if someone beats you to the punch, if somebody gets on who clearly needs a seat, and I haven't, I feel terrible because it's only they've been quicker. But I like doing these things. I like the etiquette. I like the tradition. I like the respect.
Do you hold doors open?
Always.
He does. Yeah,
I wouldn't dream of not.
I can confirm he does.
And I'm furious. You know, if somebody lets a door shut on me, I will chase them and make it an issue. But no,
see, that's where he crosses the line on etiquette, because he then goes into gangster mode.
If I let someone out of a lift first and they just walk out, like, "You're welcome."
Oh, yeah. I know people who do that. That will say that. I've been with people and they'll actually say, you're welcome. Yeah. And I kind of understand where you're coming from, even though, as I said, it's kind of almost breaking the etiquette rules a little bit, because you're obviously going against the whole etiquette. But, you know, I do understand, because sometimes I've gone and held a door open, or I've got out of the way for somebody, or given up a seat, or done something, and they completely... blank you. They completely, as if it
so
never even
rude.
Happened. And the inner you wants to go back and pull them back and say, "Oh, forget it. I'll go out in front of you," kind of thing. You know, you want to redo it, and the next time around, do it differently. But the way I see it is that we're good people. We're trying to do it the right way. And if other people don't want to appreciate it, and also I sometimes think maybe there's something going on in their lives that maybe they're having a bad day, and maybe there's a problem. So I try to see it from that point of view. The worst thing that happened to me recently. I was in a shop, and there was it was late at night. I was traveling back from I'd been at a friend's, and I was traveling back quite late. And I stopped at the services to go and get a couple of snacks for the car journey. And when I was leaving the shop, I went up to the cashier, and she completely, I said, "Good evening, how are you?" Nothing, not a word. She did all that, and she held her hand out towards the card reader to say, you know, but didn't, no communication. Mm. I thought, okay, I'm going to ignore. So I went out, and I realised I'd forgot to get something. So I went back in to get it. And she was ignoring me. She was stuck in a shelf, and I'm standing there, and she was completely ignoring me. And eventually, she looked at me, and she huffed. She started huffing. And so I said to her,
What?
I said, "Is there a problem?" She said, "Sorry?" I said, "Is there a problem?" I said, "Because obviously there's a problem." I said, "You've been extremely rude, and I don't understand why you've been rude." And I said, it's not really on to be rude to customers. I said, "If you're having a bad day, completely understand that. But I don't think it's really acceptable that you work for this well-known brand and you're giving off the impression that people are not welcome in here." And she said, "I'm not being rude." And I said, "You have been." I said, "If you watch your CCTV, you will see how you behaved." And I said, "It's really disappointing." Mm. And I took my things and I left, and she just kind of shrugged her shoulders. And I normally wouldn't say anything, but it was the huffing.
The huffing is, yes, what's the straw that broke the camel's back.
It does.
But it's
does
so common now. That story that you've told there, I imagine everybody listening to this podcast will be able to empathise with that and will have had their own experience of that.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The Men's Room podcast on TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. This is your little reminder that you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store, or via the app. You might be thinking, why would I sign up? But I'm glad you asked. At Toolstation, if you keep spending, you keep on saving. Signing up means that not only will you get a lovely 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, but there are thousands of prizes to be won. So that's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today online, in-store, or via the app.
Has it got worse over the years? You know, like people like my mum would like to say, you know, in the 80s, it was so much better and blah, blah, blah. People like to talk about sort of a time sort of from many years ago. Has it got worse, or has people's etiquette improved?
I don't think it's got worse. I think it's just different times, isn't it? You know, like, so for example, in the 80s, we didn't have mobile phones. So we didn't have all these devices which take up all our time. As you mentioned, public transport, the first thing we do, I do it as well. We all look at our devices, our mobile phones. And I think, so it's evolved and it's changed. You know, people say, how many people say to us, oh, these kids these days, they don't know how lucky they got it, and look at them all. And our parents were saying the same thing about us, and our grandparents were saying the same about there. So I don't think, I think it's just always been the same, but I think it just evolves, it just changes.
You know, I've noticed, and I'm so self-conscious of it now, that you've not yet put your elbows on the table. And
no, you're
like
not.
This and like that. And I'm like, so I've tried it for about five seconds and I couldn't do it. It was uncomfortable.
I kind of noticed, but I wasn't going to say it.
No, it's important to say.
I thought it was at a dinner table. I didn't know it was any table.
No, so normally, well, it depends on the situation. This is actually fine, because when you're in if we class this as a kind of business environment, then if you wish to put your hands on the table, then you can.
Elbows are in
elbows, you don't normally. Okay, you don't normally. But again, in this environment, there's nothing really wrong with that. But if you're say it was a dining table.
I wouldn't be at dinner like this. There's a huge difference to flag that. Also, I liked how you waited to see why my arm was up.
You've been up
to
and
then
down.
Flag it.
No, you've been up and down.
Yours
since
wasn't.
We started, I've noticed you.
No,
been
but
up
it's been
down.
Up and down.
Yeah,
but you flag it when I was
there's
up
no consistency
to try and put me on the
here.
Spot.
That's what I'm trying to say. There's no consistency. Do one or the other. I'm owning this.
I'm loving how you have a plate argument. That's so good. Polite etiquette of arguing, that's great. But, you know, this is one environment. A dining environment is very different. So you'd be sitting there with your back straight. It's very much like Prince's Diaries, you know, head up, back straight, shoulders slightly back. Oh, look how you've both suddenly changed. You've suddenly gone like really regal.
Great as well.
All over the place. Your posture is all over the place.
Posture is good also for bad backs. I have a bad back. So if you've got a bad back, it really helps with that. Keeping the hands in the lap is really important. The only time during a meal, above, is if you're having a drink, like a sip of your wine. I said a sip, not the whole glass, Rory. So it's kind of like having, you know, for drinks or for using the cutlery. Other than that, they're on the laps. You're not supposed to really have them on the table during the meal.
Do you think that we should, a lot of these rules, people would be ignorant to them, but by accident? There are a lot of things that people wouldn't necessarily know. Do you think that this should be taught in schools, this level of etiquette?
I think, I don't know. I think I've not been to one, but I think in private schools, they still try to teach, you know, some etiquette, I say teach, I think it's just the way they behave.
Yeah.
People have said to me, how do the aristocracy, how do royals learn etiquette? You know, I remember when Harry was marrying his wife, Meghan, and they were kind of saying, how did she learn the etiquette of how to be royal?
She never did.
Well, it's an ongoing process, obviously. But I think the reality is she learnt from other members of the family. She learnt from her husband. How often do we see them in not that often, but on the balcony, and you'd see Harry trying to tell her what to do. I think there was lip readers explaining, he was saying things to about where to stand and what to do and what not to do, and that's how they learn. So they do learn. So it's not, you don't have to learn it at school. You can learn it at any point in life, I suppose. But I think the actual how to behave, etiquette, whatever you want to call it, that begins at home, doesn't it? That begins with the parents. And I think as parents, you know, I always think it's wrong for other people to judge if other parents are doing it right or wrong, because it's back to that thing that in your own home you have your own rules of how to behave and how to act. And the reason we're learning it, it's not just about. The one thing I'd say is that you shouldn't learn this to put other people down. You shouldn't be learning etiquette to try to say you're better than anyone, because I'm a huge believer in no one's better than anyone else. And that's what the royals are, the exact same in that view. The reason you're learning it, it's just to kind of, one, it's to try to put other people at ease when you're around them. And the other reason you're learning it is to make you a better person. You know, it's like with the education thing, you're trying to, you know, we're all trying to learn, we're all trying to be better people. And I think with etiquette, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to be the best you can, really.
Can I ask advice for myself?
Yes.
Single man here.
Okay.
Rory's married with a wonderful daughter. For me, out in the town, still looking for number one.
I thought you'd say on the field. But
no, okay. Try both. First date etiquette.
Yep.
So I'm on a first date, wonderful lady. She gets up to go to the toilet.
Yes.
Do I get up and help her with her chair?
So the first thing is, we don't call it toilet.
Oh, sorry.
It's actually called loo or lavatory. So that's where the date would go badly wrong.
Well, it depends where she's from.
That's true.
No, but this is the thing. Etiquette's about...
I don't think she's going to mind about me.
No, but it's what you do.
Okay, what if she gets up and says, I'm going to the toilet?
No, but polite.
Now, should I politely
it's
lavatory?
The rules to which you hold yourself.
Don't correct her.
Correct her. You could just look at her and kind of smile. Did you just say, I lost the question, did you just say you're going to follow her too?
No, sorry.
Okay. This is turning into a very different type of etiquette.
Escort her to the loo.
None of that on the first, second, third, fourth, or week dates. You've got to wait for quite a while.
Yeah, okay.
Ideally. Probably after the wedding, but we'll go back to that later.
Okay. So if she says she's getting up to go to the lavatory.
Yes. You stand.
I stand up.
You stand up.
So you would stand.
Yes. And then she would then get up and she would then walk away and you would give a smile, but not too scary. You're not trying to terrify her. Just a
Is that what you do? Mate, she's going to leave.
Yeah.
She's not going to come back. Yeah. She won't come back.
If you spell it that during the day, that's why she's going to the loo. She's not coming back. It's over.
Took all her bags and phones and everything. Okay, so I get up.
Yes. You don't have to do it. Yeah, you don't have to do anything. You just stand up. Yeah. You can smile. Just a nice, that's better. That's not as scary as the other one. Yeah, that's not like it anymore.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good, mate.
You look good.
And then hands behind the back. That's really nice posture.
I thought so.
Really, really good.
That's lovely. And then she'll walk away. And then at that point, you stand down. Because if you keep standing, someone's going to think you're the waiter. So at that point,
then, otherwise. And then when she arrives back, you stand
when
up
she comes back, she'll see her come back. And you'll see
that's more important.
So then you've got to stand again. And then she'll come back. back home and she'll pick her napkin off a chair because she would put her napkin. If she put it on the table, that's a bad sign because that means she
finished. I need to know these red flags
But would you have definitely stood, you know, say I was having dinner, out for dinner.
Yes.
If somebody I know comes over to the table, so if I was out for dinner, a friend of my mum's comes over, we go to the same restaurant for years, we will probably know someone from Northwest London in this restaurant.
Yeah.
If somebody comes over to that table, I would always stand.
That's nice. That's what I do. 100%.
But I wouldn't necessarily stand, I wouldn't have known to stand if somebody were to leave the table.
Yeah, so if somebody leaves, stand, when they come back stand. If somebody comes over to the table, you're also, because it's a bit awkward if you carry on sitting there and they're standing, you're kind of it's better if you stand up, male or female.
And never shake hands, sat.
Oh, never shake hands.
Someone comes over.
Never.
But you know, if you were sat down in a pub.
No, I always make sure.
I'd come over and shake hands. You could just go shake.
However.
If you don't stand up, then I'm not your friend anymore. That's it.
However.
I would want to stand up.
What I will say, and it's because of my social media, this has been brought up to me. If somebody's unable to stand, then you wouldn't really squat. You would then, the handshake would be done when they're sitting down or, so obviously it changes depending on somebody's situation. But yeah, I wouldn't suddenly kind of squat
to eye level.
I mean, it depends on the situation. Depends on what's going on.
Would you fist bump?
Do what?
Fist bump.
Like this?
That sounds lovely. Well, thank you for having me on.
So, hang on, because I'm never going to do this again. Is that completely...
Yeah, we don't fist anything in public.
Literally never.
No.
Okay.
So if someone just give them a look, like, what are you doing? Like,
I'm worried about where this is going. So, no, we wouldn't be doing any kind of
nothing like
fisting
that
in public, no. Okay. The only thing you would do is offer the handshake. So you can do, obviously, the handshake. And what I've noticed, if you don't want to do, I mean, obviously during COVID, handshakes were out the window, weren't they? You couldn't do a handshake. And then I noticed that the now king was doing the putting the hands together, you know, in prayer kind of thing and kind of bowing his head. Oh. Is it namaste?
Namaste,
which was lovely, you know, to do that as well. But if you meet, and I have seen some people sometimes do the elbow thing as well, which, you know, doesn't really make sense.
So if anybody does that to me ever again, I'm just going to shake it.
Shake it? Like, I'm going to paper, scissors?
Well, I will shake.
Some of that, and then you do... That is so offensive.
Just to show you that.
That is so offensive. That's almost like you saying, you're above me.
I shake.
You control me.
It's not about that. It's about respect and ethics.
I think if they bring that out, you could just raise your hand up and go...
No, we're shaking. No, make it a stalemate. I'm not moving.
Well, you could kind of do the whole how do you do and put the hand up, and then maybe they might suddenly go, oh, handshake.
Yes, agreed.
Or they might not put the hand up, at which point you have to put your hand down because they're not going to do it.
Right, I will only ever handshake now.
And also, how do you do is very formal. That's the old-fashioned way, you know, how do you know what you used to say? So if somebody said, how do you do? What would you say back to them? Do you know?
I'm good.
I do good.
I'm right.
I do well.
You do well.
I do well. How do you do?
Yes. This is going really well. So
I do well.
What you're supposed to say is, how do you do back? So you'd say, how do you do? And you say, how do you do?
This could keep on going though, couldn't it?
No, that's still, no. Then you stop. However, the late Queen changed it and she started saying, how nice to see you. So you walk in the room and, because how do you do is obviously asking after somebody's well-being and you respond, you used to say, how do you do? And you say, I'm very well, thank you, how do you do? And then for whatever reason that was dropped and they just stuck with how do you do. What the late Queen used to say was, how nice to see you. Because you'd never say pleased to meet you, because how do you know you're pleased to meet somebody? Because you might not be. But if you were to say how nice to see you, it's nice to see them.
Okay, I'm going
to
adopt that greeting.
And also, if you've seen them again, so say you both meet, obviously, weekly, you say, how nice to see you again. And then you do the handshake. And if as you get to know each other, then you can move on to the hugs, obviously, which you both are good at hugging. And then if you want to, then you could even go into the social kissing.
Okay, this is fantastic.
Nice, you just put a kiss at me there.
I was practicing.
Oh, okay.
How nice to see you.
You're not delivering it well, though.
How nice to see you.
That's a bit better.
How nice to see you.
How nice to see you too.
Do you think we could make a gentleman of Addy? Do you think the raw materials are there?
Absolutely, we're already there. Rory, how long is a piece of string? Addy's also got very good eye contact. Actually, you both have good eye contact. That's really important because
it annoys me when people don't.
Eye contact, because there's nothing worse than having a conversation with somebody and they're literally looking everywhere else but at you.
He does that a lot.
That's not true.
You do it a lot. On TalkSport, when we have a guest on and you ask them a question, you then go into your, you do this.
They're not there,
this.
Addy.
But the camera, but on the, I've noticed on the screen, this is, sorry, this is really out of context. On the screen, I can see you just looking down.
Yeah, but they're not down. They're not in the room.
No, but they're
just,
on the screen.
Just for context.
And I'm looking at the screen, so they, it looks like we're
they
all focusing at each other.
Oh, but they can't see us.
They can see us.
No, they can't.
They can see us. They've got the same thing that we've got, and you're just like this. So
I'm
yeah.
also looking at them on the screen that I've got there.
No, you're not in your phone.
No, it's I'm on phone. The comments.
I think the way to do it, if it was me, is or Addy does, keep looking. But I know sometimes you have to look down to get, because you've got notes or yeah. information. So I get glancing
notes,
down. But imagine you're a newsreader. It's like being a newsreader, isn't it? Mm. So you're going to sit there looking at the screen. Every now and again, you're going to look down and look back. So it's kind of getting...
No, maintaining eye contact in real life, I'm
really
good
important.
At. Zoom calls, I mean, I just disagree with them in principle. So I don't want to be on it to begin with anyway. So
they're
I'm probably
really,
not paying much attention.
And they're also a bit of a nightmare on iPads, because I didn't realise it took ages to work out the camera. When you're looking at an iPad, you're looking straight on. You realise you're
it's
looking
really
wrong.
Oh, you know
You've
now,
sure,
I just
yeah.
don't do them on principle. I just will not do
what,
them.
Zoom calls, yeah.
If I end up on one, I've usually got like a poker table open or something. I'm just not focused on whatever I'm doing. I'm not there, really.
Are you kind of sitting there having a meal or something?
Yeah, I'm not really there. Yeah. I just disagree with them.
That's the worst thing I ever saw, just talking about a meal with an iPad. I actually witnessed somebody during a dinner in a castle. I was having dinner and the person across from me opened up, not thankfully for Zoom, but opened up a laptop or an iPad to watch a movie during the
That's
meal
boring.
In the restaurant.
Yeah, but guess what Addy does? So Addy and I go out for dinner fairly often.
Yeah, that's lovely.
I end up having dinner with him. I would never dream of touching my phone during a meal.
But during a meal.
He's just talking to me, having a conversation with me, but scrolling through his phone like this. So I'm part of the conversation, everything
fixed. You know, I can understand. So basically, happily married with children, Addy, obviously he's Tinder. He's got going to be
not,
and that's Tinder etiquette.
But can you tell them as well that I've changed? I don't no longer do that.
We've changed because there's a rule now that the first person to look at their phone has to pay the bill.
That's a good rule.
And I'm Nigerian.
That's
so we've
a really good rule. That's a good rule.
Oh, I win it all the time.
Do you find it difficult though not looking at the phone for an hour?
No.
Really?
I find it a release.
Yeah.
You know the fantasy of like winning the Euro Millions or whatever?
Yes.
The first thing I want to do is like not have a smartphone anymore.
Really?
Yeah. That's the dream.
I think
they're really bad
they're
for
awful.
Politeness.
Oh, they are bad.
Awful.
I mean, they're and I think for us, I don't know how old you guys are, but for me, when I was at school, they just started to kind of come out, and I had one, but it was for emergency. It wasn't a smartphone. It was just it was a phone. Mm. And I had it for emergencies and that kind of thing. Where now, you kind of see programs with kids at school and stuff, and in the playground, they're all on the phones.
It's really bad,
and that scares me because playtime and stuff. When I was at school, you were socializing with your mates or playing or whatever,
having a fight round the back,
having a fight or
just
whatever.
Being active though and being present.
Totally.
Rather
and
than
now,
virtual
they're all,
friendships.
But have you not seen this new thing? I don't want to say the name, but a type of eyewear that you're going to wear that takes you into these virtual reality worlds. Is that not really what's that going to do for etiquette? Because suddenly you're in this complete different world.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Reality.
Yeah, it's crazy. Your clothes.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, obviously you've come fully prepared.
Yes.
Or is this how you, 9 times out of 10, this is what you
nine
wear?
9 times out of 10, this is how I dress.
You'd always wear a tie.
Normally wear a tie. Normally have a dress shirt.
Always a pocket square.
Pocket square.
I get that wrong all the time.
Pocket square.
They're not supposed to match. That's crucial.
Sometimes I don't know whether to do like that, which is a hanky.
Handkerchief.
What's this? Handkerchief. Or I don't know whether or not to just put down the square.
What yeah.
So there's like a normal piece of like almost white card. I've seen people just chuck down.
No.
Oh, really? Yeah, I think somebody's been watching too many Mr. Beans.
Well, you're not, mate, it's always.
Let him educate me. You're not the best dresser in the world, are you?
Mate, I'll put a piece of card as a pocket square.
No, almost like a piece
this is
of
a new
white.
For you.
No, almost like a piece of white cloth there, but not in the shape where you've got it.
So basically, I know what you're saying,
thank
which
you.
Is
a lot of
obviously
causes,
folded. Well, yes, but look at your T-shirt anyway. the handkerchief, what you're supposed to do is you open it out.
Yes.
So you just open it. So I obviously fold mine when I iron them, and then you pinch it at the top. So we pinch it like that, and you just do that, and then you tuck it in, and then you just spread it out a little bit.
Is there
like
a certain height? That's
it. And that's what, if you look at the king, that's exactly how he has his. It's the same principles. You don't have to go and fold them away. It's just as simple as that. No effort. I always think ties are nice. You know, if you can put on a tie, you make the effort. You don't have to. It depends on what you're going to. Jackets are nice, pair of chinos, even smart jeans.
Yeah.
You know, you can get some, but not any of these kind of holy, I'm not talking about religious jeans, just jeans with holes.
And I notice you're wearing a signet ring.
I've got my, family signet ring. Yep.
That's the upper echelon of the world, isn't it?
I've had one since I was 30. I've had one. Normally you get given them by your family when you're 21, but in Scotland I was given a kilt instead. So I had a kilt when I was 21. I should quickly just drop in. It's the same kilt I wore when I danced with the Queen. So it was quite relevant being given a kilt for that special occasion. But no, some people do. But a lot of people, I've noticed more and more people wear signet rings.
Without knowing their signet rings?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, my family, Harold has a crest, so I've gone down that route of my father's side. But a lot of people, sometimes if they don't have that, they'll go to a mother or they'll go to another branch of the family. I've actually got two. I've got this one, which was my dad's, and I've got one. It's just a plain one that I wore that I've worn since I was 30.
And then, so a signet ring. A watch? You've got a very beautiful watch.
Got my watch. It's not anything too.
It's
thank you. So you're not. See,
you're not supposed to comment on that.
No, you're not. So I noticed you've got a lovely watch as well. Right. And you're not supposed to kind of. I assume it's a Rolex you're wearing there. Is it a Rolex?
Not a Rolex.
It's not. What is
it? It's a Breitling.
Oh, shame. Okay. So this is the point. You're not supposed to comment on other people's jewellery. You can admire, but you're not supposed to say. You're not. Because did you keep the receipt for that?
See, I would have thought, again, I want to learn, because I think this is all very important, but I would have thought that it's an incredibly kind thing to do, to comment on somebody's watch or somebody's appearance.
You can't. So, for example, if there's a lady that comes into the room and you want to comment on the dress, by all means, you should say to a lady, may I see how lovely you look? You know, you may even look at Andy and say, Andy, today may I say how ravishing you look? Maybe don't do that. But you know, you can comment on how smart other people look. That's absolutely fine. With ladies, I wouldn't start commenting on the jewels or what they're wearing or the rings or anything. You can look, and ladies can comment to each other about what they're wearing. But for men, it's not really something you do. The only time, from my point of view, if you comment on something other than how a lady's dressed, is only if there's an etiquette faux pas. So something's gone wrong.
Oh, you can tell them that.
The worst thing I've ever seen, between us, we'll keep this one to ourselves, is I remember this lady coming out of the lavatory, the loo's, at an airport. And when she walked out, it was the most extraordinary thing I've ever seen. The back of her dress was tucked into her panties, if I can say that. And off the back of her panties was the end of the loo / toilet roll. They went all the way back into the bathroom.
Oh, no.
And obviously somehow there'd been some massive etiquette faux pas, and she'd walked out, and then it then broke off as the door closed, and she carried to walk around the room, and nobody
trailing
was saying anything to her. So I eventually thought, well, this isn't good. So I went over to her, said, I'm ever so sorry, but I said, one, can I say how lovely you look in that dress? And she said, oh, thank you. And then she went to walk away, and I said, but I think the tail attachment doesn't really look quite right on this occasion. And she said, what are you talking about? And I was kind of going sideways look, and she suddenly turned round, and the poor lady suddenly bolted straight back into the lavatory.
It's nice of you though, isn't it?
Well, I thought so. I mean, you know, but I'm sure you'd have done the same.
He'd have put it on his Instagram.
You took the pictures and posted on Instagram.
If it didn't happen, she would like to know exactly how it happened as well. Surely.
Yeah, photographic evidence is really important.
It's very important. So, do you own a pair of trainers? I was just thinking.
I have one pair for when I go running, but just
but not. But sportswear would be worn only to play sport, not to an office.
Yeah,
for example, to do a radio show.
No, God, no.
Oh,
God, no.
Not.
I haven't actually looked at your footwear. I'm now worried.
He has Reebok classics on.
Really weird.
He has a pair of Reebok classics that you're actually only supposed to wear to the gym.
So you do think it would be really weird to wear a tracksuit if you were in your 40s to work? That's interesting.
It's fine if you're going to play school or kindergarten.
Play school.
I actually don't own a tracksuit. So
there you go. He doesn't even own a tracksuit.
No, I do own some tracksuit bottoms, but I don't know the full kit.
But that's you know, in your own home, you're chilling, you're relaxing. It's quite nice to be on.
What about News UK, one of the biggest offices in the country?
I'm kind of guessing that today you're both dressed down. I can tell you obviously felt well dressed.
This is actually dressed up for Rory.
Oh, is it?
Normally he wears this kiddies top, which is sometimes bright colours with patches on.
Look at his look.
What about wearing a hat indoors? How do you feel about that?
This is important.
So, but I've got to be careful not to offend anyone.
No,
basically, you're not. Gentlemen are supposed to remove the hats when they go indoors. Mm. So that's the old etiquette rule. So when a gentleman goes indoors,
old etiquette rule.
Old etiquette. It's still.
It's
if
changed.
You went to some venues today, for example, say the Ritz Hotel, they probably would ask you to remove a hat if you go indoors. Probably, but ladies can wear the hats all day. until 6 p.m. At which point a lady has to take her hat off.
Has to.
Because then they will either not wear any hat or they'll put a tiara on if they are married. Then they'll wear a tiara. If they're not married, they don't wear a tiara because then that's a sign to the gentleman or the ladies in the room that that lady is single and ready
so
to mingle.
So you're hunting women in tiaras? No, not in tiaras.
Not in tiaras. That means a single.
And my Victoria needs to be wearing a tiara.
So if you see, if you see any ladies wearing tiaras, keep away from
them.
Do not take them. Keep away from, keep distance. You may look, give a little pleasant smile, not scary look, just a gentle look, a little smile, and then walk away.
I need to, this has just been on my head as you're talking about the Ritz and food, etc. You know, like just chicken and chips.
Yes.
Good old, I don't know if you've ever had this week. I've stopped doing it because I'm a healthy man now. But you go to the local chicken and chip shop and you could buy either fish and chips or chicken and chips. Would you use your hands to consume the chicken?
So when you say chicken and chips, did you say a shop that sells chicken and chips, like fish and chips?
Yeah.
You actually go and buy chicken and chips.
It happens.
There's many a chicken and chips.
It sounds like KFC. Delightful. So how does this...
How would you consume a chicken wing?
KFC, is that a skin condition? So how would you consume it? Well, I would... So me personally, I would take it home. I would reheat it up in the oven slightly. I would then, Rory, don't look so worried.
No, I would never eat this
just
anyway.
Check it.
I'm with you on
and
this
then,
one.
And then I would dish it up into seven dishes. So, the chips would be in a seven dish and the chicken. And then I'd lay up my table with the napkins and the cutlery and the plates and the flowers and some table decorations. And then some serving gear. And then I'd sit down with my guests or myself. And then I would serve it to myself or to whoever is there. And they would sit and have it in a dignified manner, but no finger licking. We don't... like anything at the dining table.
At the dining table.
There you go. You've learned a lot today.
I'm worried about that. That was quite a naughty laugh when I said that. It's a bit
No. The reason you say it is because obviously in where I come from, Nigerian culture, we use our hands to eat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we don't use a knife
yes.
and fork.
And I got in trouble because I'm lucky enough that I got a huge Nigerian following on my Twitter. And I put up a post, I want to say about 2 years ago, and it's quite funny because I've obviously become known for it online, which I didn't know, which is where I innocently said to people that when you're eating rice, for example, you use a knife and fork. Now, I was talking about like beef stroganoff or something where you may have rice with it. So I wasn't thinking clearly on this one. And when I gave this instruction, I literally had not just Nigeria, I had Asia, I had everyone up and up. I mean, I can't even tell you how millions of people interacting, how many celebrities over there were interacting, furious that I had disrespected their culture.
You have.
And so I'm fully aware that some cultures obviously do use hands, which is absolutely fine. Mm. And what I was trying to refer to was just in my household that I would normally use knife and fork or even chopsticks. Mm. I'm not going to say I never use my fingers. Of course I use my fingers when I'm having, for example, asparagus or artichokes.
There we go. Addy, this has been a brilliant episode.
I've loved
especially
it.
For you. I think
Rory's been helped a lot.
No, I think you could really benefit. You should listen to this one back with a pen and paper.
I can see both.
Do you do private tuition?
I do.
I would take it. No, I would like to learn.
Unfortunately, I'm fully booked for the next 10 years. But normally, I mean, both of you, I think etiquette wise, you're doing really well.
As you can see, my hat. Look, don't do that. You had your hands all of a sudden. You just looked.
You're wearing a hat indoors.
You're wearing Reebok classics.
You're out before it's even begun.
You knew Harold was going to come.
You've got some weird sporting top on.
You're wearing a top with a penguin.
It's a polo top.
It's and then notice
with
the
a collar.
Penguin.
I'm wearing a collar. You're wearing a long sleeve t-shirt.
It's not a t-shirt. It's a jumper.
But do you know what? There's hope. You know, there's always hope, and I have great hope for the two of you.
Out of the two of us, who wins?
Who wins? Well,
who's the most?
Clearly, one
of us is wearing a hat.
One
of us is wearing a hat.
Just to keep it equal, I think let's do a 1 out of 10 for both of you, and I'm going to be really generous here. So,
should we stand up for this so you can actually see us in full? Because
I haven't seen what you're both wearing. I haven't actually looked properly.
All over the place.
I didn't realise that. I'm not great.
Do you know what? At least the trainers, at least they're almost one colour. Are those trainers?
Yes.
Are they
Converse? Yeah.
Converse.
White socks.
Converse.
How do you feel about white socks?
Does that mean you talk to your trainers? Because that means Converse.
Yeah, that's really okay. Yeah. I converse with them.
You converse. That's lovely. What have you got on your feet?
Oh God. Why are you putting your trousers down so we don't see your Percy Pig socks? So we're in Percy Pig socks.
What do you think?
The shoelaces. What's the?
Yeah. Well, do you know what? The one colour.
One colour trend.
And the shoelaces can undone. And what's the socks? Are they like flamingos?
I've got a flamingo statement sock.
I thought. Yeah.
A statement sock.
But you're wearing a statement tie. Yes.
Yeah. This is actually a Highgrove product.
Is it really?
It's a Highgrove tie, so it's of quality. We use is obviously Oxfam, and which is absolutely fine. You can always get nice things for Oxfam.
So who wins?
She wins. I'd have said for both of you, being generous, out of 10, let's do one.
For
wow,
you.
Geez. Well,
no, for both.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But do you know what, this time,
I mean,
I think we revisit this situation 1 year's time, see how we're both, how
give me,
how
give me a couple months. Give me a couple of months.
Yeah, I think this could go well. I'm going to also try to convince maybe to do, I do some posts on my social media, and yeah, I think both of you would be great for maybe a post on social media.
What's your social media?
It's The Royal Butler on Instagram and TikTok.
I will be following
and so what we'll do, maybe we'll do a little video on maybe how to do one or two things and see what the general public think of how
perfect.
You
perfect, we'll put it to the vote. Democracy ruins. Democracy.
That's a good idea. We could do it to the vote and see how it goes.
Thank you very much.
Democracy never really... Okay, anyway, we're not going to get into that. That's a politics conversation.
Yeah, never talk about sex, religion, politics or money.
No, talk about what?
Sex, religion, politics or money.
Doesn't leave much to talk about.
We talk about the weather and corgis.
There we go.
Interesting.
It's been a brilliant episode. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for me on.
Can I ask you a very... You know you said don't talk about sex.
Yes.
Right, just final one.
Yes.
No, actually, no. No.
Go on.
No.
You're definitely. You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Don't want to get fired.
Go on.
No, it's quite. No, it's, no.
Go on, you've got to do it now.
No, I was going to ask. You know, like we were talking about first date. From an etiquette standpoint, how long do you think it should take to have sex after?
On
how
a
many
date?
Dates?
Oh, I would say. I mean, reason here after the wedding, certainly.
Okay, cool.
It's something, do you know, it's difficult.
I agree with everything you've said so far.
Do you know what? In our grandparents' time, our grandparents would tell us, as they told me, that you don't do any of that kind of naughty things until after you're married. Our grandparents were probably the worst for it. Yeah. So I think it's safe to say that it's when couples are mutually consented and they feel that, you know, whether that be, you know, a year, 6 months.
Or an hour and a half.
In Aid's opinion, probably after a few minutes. But yeah, you've got to kind of make that decision yourselves.
Amazing.
But I'm sure that you'll work it out when the time
indeed
arises.
Amazing. Thank indeed you very much.
Thank you.
This has been spectacular. Really do appreciate it. Please let us know your thoughts if you are listening to this episode in the comments section below. And we will look forward to seeing you all on the next episode.
We will.
ToolStation are the proud sponsors of the Men's Room podcast on TalkSport. Join the ToolStation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with ToolStation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes such as TVs, gaming consoles and even holidays. If all that isn't enough, then remember, if you sign up, then you will get loads of exclusive discounts that aren't available anywhere else. That's the ToolStation Club, so make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello? Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.